everyone. This is Yvette Hampton. Welcome back to the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. I am so excited that you are with me this week. This is going to be such a great conversation. Abby Ranella is back with me this week, and we have a really, really important topic that we're going to discuss. And you probably already know what it's about because you probably saw it in the title of the podcast. We're going to be talking this week about school choice. And oh boy, this is a hot topic out there right now. There's so much talk about it all over the place. Lots of misinformation, lots of people confused. Like, people are just like, what is school choice? What do we call it? Is it good? Is it bad? Well, there's lots of questions, but we are going to clear it up for you this week. And I cannot think of anyone else better to do it with me than Abby Ranella. So thank you for being with us. Before we get into our conversation, though, I want to say thank you to our sponsor, BJU Press Homeschool. If you're looking for a great homeschool curriculum, whether it's independent learning or parent-led approach, whatever you need, any subject, any grade, BJU Press Homeschool has something for you and for your kids, and they will truly encourage a love of learning and help your child to develop a biblical worldview. So check them out at bjupresshomeschool.com. Well, Abby, welcome back to the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. I am so excited to have you with me this week. This is a really, really important topic that we are discussing this week. And so for those who may not be familiar with you, introduce yourself and it's kind of who you are, why you're so passionate about school choice. How do you know so much about this? Because let me tell you, you know a whole lot more about it than I do. So tell our audience who you are, and let's just kind of set the stage for this conversation.
Okay, well, I'm a wife, and I'm a mama, and obviously I'm a homeschooler, or you probably wouldn't have me here. And I'm a speaker, and I'm a writer, and I'm actually on the board of my home state homeschool organization. I'm a previous public school teacher, and the first day that we brought home our very first baby, my husband looked at me and he said, you got to come home because God didn't give us this baby girl for someone else to raise. And that was the day I resigned, and I've been home with my own kids ever since, and I've homeschooled them all the way through. So I have a passion, a deep passion for homeschool, for family. And I really do believe that it's God's call and God's design for parents to be their kids' teacher and primary teacher. And you could actually go listen to another episode that we did a long time ago called Why Homeschool to hear why I believe that so deeply. My heart is to encourage homeschool parents. I just like to get on and have fun with you and encourage homeschool. That's what I love to do. I don't like talking about this kind of stuff necessarily, but what I've learned is this is important. This is so important because in order to keep homeschooling, we have to be part of the story of what's happening and what's happening in the future of homeschooling and where we're going with the homeschool movement. And I also have a deep passion for freedom. And I don't believe that it is the government's job in any way, shape, or form to nurture and raise and educate our children. That's a parent's job. And I don't think it's the government's job to provide for parents to do that either. So because of all those things put together, I would not say I'm a school choice expert, but I do have a lot of passion to educate parents on this topic. I also work a lot legislatively in my own state in these sort of things. And I pay attention nationally, what's going on just with our homeschool board here in my state, working with all states across the country as well. So
you have been deep in this for quite some time. And yes. I know, you know, your state of Idaho, you guys have just worked tirelessly to really understand what school choice is.
Right.
Because like I said in the intro, I mean, so many people are just confused. People don't know really what it is. They don't know what the implications are. They don't know what the risks are.
Totally.
And so there's so many questions being asked. And so let's start off kind of talking about what is school choice. Kind of maybe define what that is and let's kick it off that way.
Okay. And I think that's the great way to kick it off. Because when I first heard of school choice years ago, I was like, well, that sounds amazing. Like, obviously we need choice. Like I have a huge passion for freedom. I mean, it's just, I have a huge passion for just the freedom that our nation has, our founding. And so I was like, heck yeah, we need school choice. Yeah. But I always think of that Princess Bride quote. Like, I don't think that word, what is it? I don't think the word is what you think the word means.
Right.
Somebody's correcting me right now because that's not exactly how it goes. But I think school choice is a little bit like that. Like, I think people think that it means one thing, but that's not what it means. School choice does not actually mean school choice because just to let everybody know, we already have school choice in every single state in this nation. All 50 states has the choice, parents have the choice to home educate, to privately educate, put their kids in a private school, to publicly educate, to, there's multiple choices, and every single state has it and has had it. Not always. My state, actually, in the 80s, parents were jailed for homeschooling. And we fought tirelessly for the freedom of homeschooling in our state. And we are now a very free state. And I guess that's also probably why I have this fire in me, because I've seen where we were and I've seen where we are, and I don't want to go back there. So I think it's kind of that linguistic theft that that people talk about in logics of, we've used this term school choice, which sounds like a really good thing, but it's actually not. What school choice means when you hear people talk about it is what it actually means is it's a funding movement. It's who funds the choices. The choices are already there. They've already been there. All of a sudden in 2020, there was this whole school choice movement, it's been around, but it really exploded. Sure. And what it really is who funds the choices. And there is a group of people, and we'll talk about who this is, but when you hear people supporting school choice, what they're saying is, we want the government to fund all educational choices, private, homeschool, public, every choice of education should be funded by the government. And ultimately what that does is it actually removes all choice. We really will have no school choice because all choices will be a government choice. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. That makes sense. But it's what most people don't understand
about it.
It's linguistic theft. Is it Hillary Morgan Ferrer
she
that talks
always
about
says that? Yep.
Mama Bear Apologetics, they talk about that. And it really is. The government has a way of tricking us into thinking that they're doing one thing when they're actually doing another thing. And so that's really what is going on here, is the government saying, we're going to do this for you.
We're here to help, right?
And what they really mean is, we're going to do this to you.
Right. So, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And so then when we talk about school choice, so I've had so many people say, I don't understand why you're against this. It sounds so great. And then when I clear up and I go, you already have school choice, and we'll talk a little bit about that. But so some terms that people are going to hear around school choice would be ESA, which is an educational savings account. Mm-hmm. They might hear public-private partnership. They might hear things like tax credits or vouchers. These are kind of some of the buzzwords, but they're all methods of funding private education with public money, government money. It's government money.
Right.
And this is really a means to accomplish UNESCO's goal, which we're going to talk about in a little bit, but it's basically creating an education monopoly where we're entangling private actors, which is the private and the homeschools, right, under the control of a single system that funds them. And so those are the buzzwords you're going to hear, but know that all of those words, that it's all the same thing. It's all school choice.
And we'll get into, the argument of, but it's our money, therefore
Absolutely.
We should be able to take it back
and
use it how we wish. And so, so we will go there, but let's take a break first and we'll be back.
Have you tried CTC math yet with your child? Here's a testimonial from another happy homeschool mom. Amber said, I'm absolutely thrilled with CTC math. It's a rare find that I've used with my children for more than 5 years now. I have 6 children using CTC math, and each child has found it easy to navigate and very applicable. Thank you so much for all that you are doing in providing quality math lessons for my children. If you're looking for a great online math program, visit ctcmath.com. That's ctcmath.com.
Are you looking for a homeschool curriculum that goes beyond textbooks and truly engages your children in the joy of learning? Apologia's award-winning curriculum is written by homeschool parents to specifically meet your needs and captivate your students with hands-on activities and experiments that make learning unforgettable. With an easy-to-follow, open-and-go format, Apologia takes the stress out of planning and provides a simple roadmap that can easily be tailored to your family's needs. Explore live classes or self-paced courses designed to accommodate every student's unique learning style. Elevate your child's education, spark their curiosity, and nurture a lifelong love for learning with Apologia. Discover Apologia today at apologia.com.
We are back with Abby. So let's talk about this first. Why there is such conflict, and I see this all the time. I see it on social media constantly. And this is like in our own state. I'm in Oklahoma, and this is a big, big, big issue right now. And we've got a homeschool page, a homeschool Facebook page, a local homeschool Facebook page, and there is constant debate about this and conversation going on where you've got one side saying, and these are, it's a actual Christian homeschool Facebook page. And so these are all Christian homeschool parents debating this particular issue. And some saying, no, 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 this is a good thing. It gives you back your money that you're already putting, you know, paying in your taxes, and it gives you control. And they're trying to state their case. And then you've got others saying, no, 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 you don't understand what you're doing. And so why do you think that there is such conflict on this particular issue among conservatives?
Right. It's really heartbreaking for me because it's like, there's so many people I line up with in every area. And then this is such a divisive area. And I do want to say it is divisive, but we need to be careful. We need to not let it divide brothers and sisters in Christ. We can debate it. We can discuss it. We can try to share truth, but,
it's not a salvation issue.
It is not a salvation issue. No. And we just want to be careful to not let the enemy use it to divide, right? Cause he's already using it to come after our kids. So let's be careful. But there's many different reasons. It's been hard for me. I've analyzed so much. Why are these Christian conservatives, usually freedom fighters, oftentimes thinking outside the box people, so for this? Why is there such conflict? And I would say when you see so many people that are for it, and then after you listen to everything we say, there's a couple things I see. One, a lot of the people, they have a right heart. They do. They want what is best for their kids. They want to see more kids out of a broken system. And they believe that parents are the best teachers for their kids. And you know what? I wholeheartedly agree with every single one of those things. But here's the thing. They don't understand the threats and the dangers of this so-called solution, because this is not a solution to those problems. And we'll talk about that. So I would say that a lot of them are just, I know I don't want to say ignorant because that kind of has a negative connotation, but it just means they don't understand. A lot of them don't understand how school choice
is. They're misinformed.
They're misinformed. Thank you. Yeah. And so that's what we're here to do today, is to help inform them, to open their eyes, to kind of explain what's going on here, because their hearts are right. And then the second group of people I've been seeing are, these are people that are just so single track minded, so determined to destroy the teachers' unions, which is a good thing in my opinion, and to revamp a really, really messed up public education system, which again is not a bad thing. But they're so hyper-focused on that, that they're not looking at, or maybe don't care, I don't know, about the collateral damage that they're doing to the alternative education options that we already have. They're kind of blinded at that they're causing a bigger problem. And then the last group, I have to say, and you know what? We learned this in 2020, follow the money. There are a lot of people who are pushing this, and a lot of them might line up with you in every other area. But if you are hearing people push school choice and you notice that they have maybe a curriculum to offer or a class to offer or something, they stand to make a lot of money. If the school choice legislation is passed across the states. And so to me, I would just kind of mark those people off your list because they could be very much thinking, hey, I have a chance to make a lot of money at this. So of course I'm going to support it, you know, and you just, you have to follow the money. And that one's a pretty obvious one.
Yeah. Really quickly, park there, Abby, because I want you to explain that. How would these people make money by supporting school choice?
Okay. So let's say that right now I'm an independent homeschool mom. And when I get ready to buy my curriculum each year, you know, I pray about it. We sit and we look at our budget and we decide what we're going to purchase for our family. And there are certain things that I'm like, I might not be able to buy that, or I don't need all three of those things because that might not be being a steward of the money God has given me. But if all of a sudden the government is handing me thousands of dollars a year per student, and let's say I have six students, you know, and then I have to spend that money, right? Then all of a sudden I can go buy all the things and all the curriculum and all the beautiful, shiny things. And now these curriculum providers, they might not just be curriculum providers. They might provide a lot of different things. They can now peddle what they're peddling to these parents and say, hey, now you have the money. Now you've got the money. And so their product will be sold a lot more because the government is now handing out money to pay for it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Yeah. So, I just wanted to clarify for those who maybe didn't understand.
How are they going to make money? Exactly.
How that would work. So,
right.
So who's behind it? I mean, you talked about UNESCO, and obviously it's a government movement, but who is actually behind the school choice movement?
Okay. So the thing is we all have to say, notice that this is kind of a new big push since 2020. I mean, it's everywhere. It is this is a huge topic right now. Yeah. And I don't know about you, but I've grown a little maybe nervous about new ideas that are popping up since 2020 when it involves the government's brilliant ideas. And so we have to know that school choice isn't new, but this movement, this push, this desperate push for it is new. And the same organizations, here's the thing, it's not a grassroots effort. This is not a grassroots effort. These are organizations that are lobbying in every single state, right? And they're making a nationwide effort to make all private education public. And I'm going to read you some stuff right now, so hang with me. But there's an organization called UNESCO, and it's the United Nations Education, Science, and Cultural Education. And I want everybody to just kind of listen in. I'm not going to explain a lot of this because you have a lot of smart listeners, but they put out something that said that there would be quality and inclusive education for all by 2030. And it would allow for government control of every educational option through regulations and accountability measures tied to public funding. So basically they're saying by 2030, every educational option, every child will be under the government control, okay, through regulations and through accountability measures. And how are they going to do that? It says right here, you can find this, just probably do a UNESCO Google, and they're going to do it through this public funding. They had a surprisingly transparent article that they put out called the Global Education Monitoring Report. And the authors describe how public money funding private schools and the regulations that come with it, and we'll talk about that, can be utilized as, quote, the main policy option to tackle education inequalities resulting from private actors' involvement in the provision of education. So to distill that down, basically, this is a policy tactic to infiltrate all private education through government regulation. I mean, if you get nothing from this, this needs to open your eyes. There is an agenda. There is an agenda to remove all parental control and have the government control all children, all forms of education by 2030. They gave you a date. The report further states that the, quote, regulation of evaluation, which are assessments, and accountability frameworks play a strategic role in promoting that all publicly funded schools, independently of their ownership, are correctly aligned with quality standards and also with the equity goals and objectives set by the government. So basically, everyone is going to comply to this. And lastly, it goes on to describe just a few of the equity-oriented regulatory strategies that can be enforced on the private sector. They urge all governments to, wait for it, quote, see all institutions, students, and teachers as part of a single system. Standards, information, incentives, and accountability should help governments protect, respect, and fulfill the right to the education of all without turning their eyes away from privilege or exploitation. So basically, by 2030, they want to control all education options. And the way that they're going to accomplish this is written right here. It's through funding all options. Because we know, Yvette, that what the government funds, the government controls.
That's right.
So when you read this, you can understand why there are so many homeschool parents fighting tooth and nail against public funding of private education, because we understand what happens when that happens and we see the bigger goal.
Yeah, it goes back to, you talked about COVID, and when COVID hit in 2020, I saw that as compliance conditioning. They were just conditioning people to comply with their evil agenda.
100%.
And that is exactly what is happening now. And Satan's very clever.
Right.
And he comes in disguise. And I believe that is what is happening here, is that he's coming in disguise, making it look pretty, making it look like it's a good thing.
Right. Because, and you know, when reality, you offer money, I mean, this is what really makes me sad.
Single, and, you know, mostly single income families.
Yep. And this is what's making me sad, is I'm seeing, and I want to talk about this a little bit later, but I'm seeing that the money is kind of the Trojan horse. Like, they know, well, we'll offer you a little money. And some parents are like, nope, that's our line. We're not doing that. Okay, well, what about this much money per kid? Okay, well, what about this much money? And they just keep adding more until eventually it's like, you know, parents give, they give in for money. And I feel like you're selling your children to a system that has made it very clear they want to control your children.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is so enticing, because if you have several kids, which your average homeschool family, absolutely, you know, has more than two kids.
For sure.
But even if you only have two and they're willing to pay for all of your curriculum and all of your extracurricular activities, you know, they can get horseback riding lessons or piano
lessons or ski passes and trampolines. And it's unbelievable what you see these people spending money on.
When we lived in California, this is crazy. If you were part of a charter school, they were called charter schools there. If you were part of a charter school, you actually could get a Disneyland pass, family pass with your charter school money. And somehow they, you know, worked that into the, somehow it was educational to go to Disneyland because it had to be somehow educational based.
Right.
And so these parents are like, hot diggity, we can get Disneyland passes for our entire family for a year. I mean, and so it's just unbelievable how enticing they really do make it. And and it was for us too. When we very first got into homeschooling, I remember our friends saying, you know, you can get money. And I think at that time, I want to say it was like $500 a year.
Right.
And I was like, wow.
Oh, Yvette, it is now upwards, you know, $7,000, $8,000 a year. And what's interesting is we have people coming into our state now. And it, we are such a free state, and we have a deep rooted, just this amazing homeschool community that is, we're homeschooling out of conviction, and people are moving in here. And the first question they ask, it has nothing to do with their children. The first question is they ask is, where can we sign up for the money? Yeah. And it gives me a stomach ache because I'm like, that's the most important thing for you right now. And it's just interesting because it's like, how much will you sell? What's your level of sellout? You know? And it's like, it's the money for parents, and it's sad. And we can talk a little bit more about how to stand against that.
Yeah, we will. But we're out of time. So we're going to come back again, and we're going to continue talking about this. There's so much more to talk about, so much clarity to bring. And I'm just going to tell you guys now, give you kind of a preview of next week. So we're going to finish this week out talking about school choice and the dangers of it. But next week, we're going to come back and we're going to do a whole week with Abby on how to make homeschooling affordable. Yes. So we're not just going to leave you hanging. We're not going to just leave you here. Like, best of luck to you.
Right.
We are going to talk with you about how you can actually afford to homeschool when you can't really afford to homeschool.
Right. You so, can. And when we come back, I want to tell you, we are going to hit some of these questions like that make sense. Like, it's my tax money, or hey, I heard, don't we want to save kids from the public school? So do come back because we understand there's some valid questions and they make sense. Yes. So we want to help you guys navigate those waters.
Absolutely. Well, we will absolutely do that. Abby, thank you so much for being with me this week and for talking about this really, really hard and controversial topic. You know, again, it's not a salvation issue. Lots of Christians disagree on this, but one of the reasons, like you said, that many Christians disagree is because they simply don't understand what is at stake. And so we're here to bring clarity to that. So thank you for all the studying that you've done and your state, you know, Homeschool Idaho, as well as our state, Homeschool Oklahoma, and many, many, many other states across the nation have really worked together in collaboration with each other to help study and understand the dangers of this. So it's not just Idaho. It's not just Oklahoma. It's not just California. It's all over the place.
Right,
so, you know, these state leaders have come together to bring awareness, and we are so grateful for these state organizations who are fighting against this. So that we can have the freedom to love and disciple and
that's really the heart of it, Eva, is we are doing this. None of us get paid. Well, at least nobody I know. I certainly don't. None of us get paid. We're doing this because we have the heart for parents to be able to freely educate our children in the Bible. Because there's going to be a day where they come and say no. And we want to defend the freedom to be able to do what God's called us to do.
Amen. That's what we're here for. Well, thank you, Abby, so much for being with me. Thank you guys for listening. You are such a blessing. We love you. If you've not watched the movie Schoolhouse Rocked, The Homeschool Revolution, you can stream it for free through our website, schoolhouserocked.com. And we talk in that movie about the history of homeschooling, how homeschooling was so threatened years ago. Zan Tyler gives her story and her testimony of almost going to jail just to fight for the freedom to homeschool. And so we have freedom right now, but we may not always stay free, and we have to fight for the freedom that God has blessed us with. And so we address that in the movie, as well as many other things, misconceptions about homeschooling, and we bring great encouragement. So if you've not seen it yet, you can stream it for free again at our website, schoolhouserocked.com. Have a great rest of your day. Stay tuned to the end, hear what's coming up next on the podcast, and we will see you back here next time. Bye.
You're not going to end the public school system in America. I don't really see that happening. I mean, I can't guarantee it, but I think it's a pretty far-fetched idea that you're just going to completely end the entire public school system.
Right.
What you're going to end up doing is paying for multiple systems, right? And then each one of those systems is going to be regulated by the same broken system that has made the public schools what it is. So I get that we want to see a corrupt system dealt with. I understand that we are to stand against the evil happening there. I'm all about that. We need Christians in school board. We need Christians in those schools teaching kids. We need to stop the evil that's happening there. But here's how we're going to do it. Then we need to get in there and make an impact, or we need to take responsibility, parents. We need to take responsibility and pull our kids out. But what we don't need to do is go knock on the door of the same system that broke it and ask them to come into my front door now, right? You broke that system. Now, do you want to come sit at my dining room table and oversee what I'm doing in my home?